our radio program with Philip Van Winkle.
Many honest people have been led to believe that the New Testament was merely added on to the Old Testament, and that Christians are governed by both testaments. But that would lead to many different contradictions. The two testaments do not require the same things. Once it is understood that the law given by God through Moses, that Old Testament, was given to the children of Israel exclusively, and that Christians are under a new law entirely, this will end the different contradictions. I hope you have your Bible with you, and if you do, open it to Luke chapter 5. We're going to read beginning in verse 36 together. He spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old, if otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. No man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles, and be spilled, and the bottles would perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, so that both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desires new, for he says the old is better. Jesus here shows a basic principle of his New Testament. He says, no man puts a piece of a new garment upon an old, in verse 36. And now he lists two reasons why. He says, first, the new will make a rent or a tear in the old. And then secondly, the piece that was taken out would not agree or would not even match the old. He also says, no man puts new wine into old bottles or wineskins, verse 37. And again, he gives us two reasons. He says, the new wine would burst the bottles and would be spilled, and then the bottles would perish. And so he says, the new wine must be put into new bottles so that both are preserved. This passage refers to the two testaments, the new and the old. Jesus was trying to get his disciples to see that these two testaments were to be kept separate. And verse 39 refers to the Jews who had drunk deeply out of that old testament, and they did not desire the new and fresh because they said the old was better. And to this day, many Jews still believe so. Now, if you would, turn over to Romans chapter 7. You will recall that Paul wrote the book of Romans, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. Now ye know not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he lives, but if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now, on another occasion we can talk about marriage, but for now, I want us to see the main thrust of this passage. Paul here shows a parallel between human marriage and our being married spiritual, either to the law of Moses or to Christ. Now, the human law of marriage has dominion over a man for as long as he lives, according to verse 1. The woman who has a husband is bound by the law to the husband while he lives, verse 2. But if the husband dies, she is loose, she's freed, she's discharged from the law of God concerning her husband. If while the husband lives, she is married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. That's what verse 3 tells us. The word called here is a little Greek word called krematizo, and it is a word that literally means to be called by God. And so it really doesn't matter what other people think. God calls her an adulteress. But notice, if the husband dies, then she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, even if she's married to another man. Well, what is the point that we're saying today? Christians, according to verse 4, have been made dead to the law by the body of Christ, that we should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. We have been delivered from that old law. That's what verse 6 tells us. Well, what law is it that we were delivered from? Well, verse 7 makes it clear. It says, the law that says thou shalt not covet. Now, which law was that? Well, that was the Mosaic law. Now, we could stay here in this passage and we could be here the rest of the day, really, but we need to move on and turn, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 2. Paul, also writing to the brethren in Ephesus, he writes, beginning in verse 11, wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Gentiles once were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Gentiles were strangers from the covenants of promise. But if you look at verse 13, Paul says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Christ is peace between Jews and Gentiles, according to verse 14. He made both Jew and Gentile one. He broke down the middle wall of partition. But let's keep reading in verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, to make in himself of two one new man, and so making peace. What was the enmity that was abolished? This middle wall. The enmity was the law of the commandments contained in ordinance, according to verse 15. And that law was abolished, verse 15. Christ's reason for breaking down and abolishing the law was to make of himself, Jew and Gentile, one new man, and therefore creating peace. But why would he do this? Well, verse 16 will tell us, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Both Jew and Gentile were reconciled to God in one body, and that body is the church. And you can read about that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. The enmity, or that old law, was therefore slain by the cross, according to verse 16. Look at verse 17. And came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to those who are nigh. Now, because the law was done away, peace was to go forth to the Gentiles, that is, those who were far off, but also to the Jews, those who were near. Look at verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God. Through Christ, both Jews and Gentiles are no more strangers and foreigners to each other, but verse 19 says they are fellow citizens. If the law, which had been a middle wall of partition between Jews and Gentiles, had never been broken down, had not been abolished, had not been slain, then this new arrangement of fellow citizenship would not be possible. The middle wall, or that law, had to go away first, so that fellow citizenship could be the result. Also, turn over to Colossians chapter 2. And we've talked about this before, but we'd like for you to look at it once again. Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 12. Paul writing says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Look at verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Now, if you can, hold your finger right here, because we're going to come back here. Flip over a few pages to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 15. Paul again writing. He says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make of himself of two one new man, and so making peace. Now, go back to Colossians 2, verse 14, where your finger is, where it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, and nailed it to his cross. We're talking about the same thing. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Well, what is the point? At his cross, the old law was to be done away. And now he says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, he says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day or of a new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. He says, it is no big deal whether you keep those Jewish holidays or those Jewish feasts. It's not any big deal. Christ has come one time, and these ordinances of the law were blotted out. They were taken out of the way, and they were nailed to the cross, and they're gone.